We're back with the conversation from Pledge 2017, Fall 2017, and back with the conversation. The Girl Scouts of Hawaii have been around for 100 years. Hawaii was one of the first states to start a scouting program. Every 2 years, it issues a State of Girls report, and this year's report comes to some troubling conclusions. Girls lag behind in science and math education. More than 1 in 10 says she doesn't feel safe in school. In a survey of girls' overall well-being, Hawaii ranked in the middle, and that's not good enough for Girl Scouts of Hawaii CEO Sherry Chang, who spoke with us about the State of Girls 2017.
This is a report that's updated every 2 years nationally, just so you know, and then each state has their own data that they can take a look at. So for Hawaii, the disturbing thing is that we're only ranked 23rd in the nation for the well-being of young girls from kindergarten to 12th grade.
Yeah.
And they look at all different levels, you know, demographic, health, education, environment, et cetera. And so for us to be rated so low is really disturbing. But part of it has to do with education. When you look at some of the statistics that show that 68% of fourth grade girls aren't proficient in reading, 68% of seventh grade girls aren't proficient in math, and even 11% of girls in Hawaii stated that they didn't always feel safe at school. So those are really troubling statistics. And so it's important that we have programs where the girls learn to develop confidence and character and advocate for themselves as well as for others and kind of find their voice. And that's what the Girl Scout Leadership Program is all about.
It's really surprising that there are so many dynamics in society moving them in the other direction.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And that's why, you know, we have our outreach programs on Title I schools and under-resourced areas. We even have Girl Scout troops and Boys and Girls Clubs in Nanakuli and Waianae and Ma'ili, places like that, because you know, a lot of these kids, the after-school program, there are no after-school programs at their schools anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, these are pretty under-resourced areas. And so we bring in a program where these girls can be a part of it. You know, money, they don't have to worry about the money part because we fund, you know, the activities, their uniforms, everything. We do get a commitment from the family of $30 for an entire year. And that's just to make the commitment to make sure the girls do attend the meetings and everything. And it's been a really positive thing. We've had some homeless girls that have participated. And one really remarkable story on Maui where a homeless girl, the counselor had asked us to, could we put her in that program, our after-school leadership program, because she wasn't talking. She wasn't, had no friends. By the end of the school year, she was not only actively involved in school, doing well in school, but she actually even did a community service project for the homeless. Mm-hmm. The family went missing at the end of the school year, so you know everybody was concerned because you know that's unfortunately what does happen. And I was very fortunate that I had worked with the Maui Rotary, and they gave us additional funds to expand that program to 2 more Title I schools on Maui. First day of school the following fall, in walks Madeline and with her uniform on and feeling very proud to be a part of the program still. So she's in her 3rd year with us now. And we have a lot of really nice stories like that that, you know, may seem like one little girl at a time, but you know you've changed that girl's life.
One is plenty, you know.
Right.
And the whole, there's a real human need to belong to something, to be with like-minded.
Right.
To have friends, right? To have support.
Right.
And that's a place you can go.
And a place where you can learn things and fail but not feel ridiculed or teased. You know, you fall down with your sisters and they laugh with you, not at you. And that's kind of the really important part of the camaraderie that Girl Scouts tries to foster is, you know, anti-bullying, anti-mean girl streaks, you know, be supportive of each other and help each other out.
The whole mean girls phenomenon, have you got a handle on what makes it happen?
You know, what surprised me was to see how early it starts.
Yeah.
One of my workers at another, when I was in the hospitality industry, her daughter in preschool was being kind of harassed by other mean girls. And we're like, this is preschool. What, you know, this isn't innate with them.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's really important to have these programs where we really work with girls to better understand the need to support each other, to succeed together, to, you know, find a way to, you know, not need to be a mean girl. I mean, that's just, you know, it's just so unnecessary.
And given the fact that it's not innate, there's only one other explanation, which is that society is pushing
right.
And young girls in that direction.
You know, one parent told me, she said, you know, take a look at some of the shows. Even though they might be Disney-oriented and stuff, you know, kids are teasing each other, and it's kind of like okay because they're doing it. And and I think that's why when we do our anti-bullying campaigns and everything, we try and really emphasize – you know, you wouldn't want to be treated this way, and you need to treat people how you want to be treated. So, and you see that, and this is one thing we do talk about. One of our Gold Award Girl Scouts did a project on this because she was cyberbullied extremely bad where the police were involved. It was quite a big case.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, the disturbing thing was that it turned out to be someone she knew very well that was a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to go to school. She was humiliated. She just wanted to kind of drop out and everything. But her mom said, hey, you've got a Girl Scout troop backing you. They're going to be there for you. They're your friends, and they'll support you. And so now what she did, she just graduated this last year, but she actually went around and talked about bullying and to schools to over 3,000 kids as part of her Gold Award project to talk to them about, here's the steps you need to take, but find a support group that can help you. Because she goes, if it wasn't for my parents and my Girl Scout troop, it would have been really rough.
The whole idea of popular culture being a force that works actually against you is hard to fathom, but that really does seem as if that's the state of girls today.
It is tough, and as a mother of two girls and a grandmother of one granddaughter,
uh-huh.
You know, that's why to me it's so important that we mentor young girls at a very, very early age. We've got to start in kindergarten. You can't wait till they're in junior high and high school. You need to start quite early to give them the right values and help them see that supportive network and give them those leadership skills, because we've had a lot of girls too that have been subjects of abuse, and one of the biggest fears is that someone won't speak about it. And that's one of the things we talk about, the girls. Find your own voice. Advocate for yourself and for others. And that's an important part of the leadership experience.
It's really good for them to be away from boys at some point in their growing up, isn't it?
You know, and the statistics show that it actually is they gain more on the leadership and confidence side when they are away from that environment. And I think we've seen a lot of studies that showed, even at school, you know, teachers tend to call on boys raising their hands more and things like that. So when they're in this all-girl environment, whether they go to a co-ed school or not, it actually helps reinforce the confidence that they have. And when we put them through some of the STEM programs and entrepreneurship programs and outdoor experience programs that we do, they truly do learn to, you know, kind of be a little bit tougher and a little bit stronger and stand up for themselves, which is important.
The whole mission of scouting, it's 100 years in Hawaii, right?
Yes, yes.
It's evolved over those years, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I mean, when scouting first started, even on the mainland in 1912 and in Hawaii in 1917, the idea was to it was a time of war, World War I, and Juliet Lowe felt that women needed to get outside of the home. They needed to build skills to be able to be quite honest, to support themselves, because a lot of their young men were being killed. And mm-hmm. and she felt that they didn't have any experience outside of the home. So initially, scouting started doing community service projects, actually doing a lot of projects supporting, you know, families that were impacted by the war, helping the hospitals and Red Cross and things. Mm-hmm. But they also started doing the camping and the, you know, stretching themselves and kind of testing them, the limits of what they might have been comfortable with. And, and that was what was really a lot of fun, I think, about the scouting.
And then fun sort of opens the door to a great many other things.
Right. I mean, today's scouting, very different from even when I was, it's girl-led, which means the troop leader doesn't determine everything. They can help in the early stages guide them a little bit, especially on community service. Otherwise, everything would be for puppies and kittens. but it really is important. The girls decide what community service project they're going to do and what journey camps they're going to work on together as a project. And it's that fun and cooperative learning experience that makes it a more positive environment for them.
Sherry Chang is Chief Executive Officer of Girl Scouts of Hawaii. She most recently launched a campaign for Girl Scouts. We're more than just cookies.